This morning, turn in your Bible to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and we'll begin by reading verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, and we'll read the verse 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ask God to help us this morning. Father, we know that we're weak and feeble. And we know that we are in a war with a mighty enemy. We do ask that you will use this passage of scripture to build us up in the faith, to strengthen us with might in the inner man. And Father, that we will put our gospel armor on. Father, we ask it in the name of your Son. Amen. Amen. Apostle Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And these words were written by a man, if you've read your Bible, any, that was a great leader who himself waged in much warfare personally. The Apostle Paul said he had the whole care of the churches upon him. So he definitely knew and he definitely experienced firsthand the evil plotting and the scheming of the evil one against the people of God. Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, is more than qualified to write Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, and to instruct the saints of the warfare that they are in. Now, this passage of scripture that we'll be reading, because he's given this to these new Christians in Ephesus, are the whole key to victory in our daily struggles and allurements and temptations of the Christian life. It's a terrible mistake to think that once one has experienced that glorious day of conversion, when that takes place in our life, that all trouble and strife ceases. But in reality, the Word of God teaches that once a person is converted and once they're born again by the Spirit of God, this marks the beginning of a lifelong warfare. Now, I have to make it clear this morning, this is not a war for our salvation. Jesus fought and won that war. He won that war at Calvary. Hebrews 2:10 refers to him as the captain of our salvation. He earned our salvation on that cross at Calvary's tree. The point is that we're not fighting to be saved. We are fighting because we are saved. And people have to understand what this world is all about, because we have a lot of enemies that hate us. We have a lot of enemies that hate our Savior. He hates our Savior. He hates the church. Jesus said he has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. So if you are a Christian this morning, you have entered into a war in Christian service. And that war is in the army of God. And the way the scriptures puts it, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Christian life is glorious. I've had a good time in the Christian life. It's glorious. It's full of love, joy. It's full of peace and happiness. It's full of blessing. But it's bittersweet, because I was thinking, you know, I'm a fisherman. I catch the biggest bluegill I've catched in my life. I can only enjoy it for a little while. And then the curse comes back again. Something happens to the boat. So I'm going like, it's a good life, it's full of joy, but because the world is cursed, we can only enjoy things for so long. And there's a devil and there's the flesh, and you're always fighting something that's adverse to God. But, you know, because we're living on this spiritual battlefield, life is bittersweet. We live in a sin-cursed world. John said in 1 John 5:19, he said this world lies under the sway or up under the power of the wicked one. So whatever we face in life, in the thick of battle, in the heat of hostility, Ephesians 6:10 has to be the guiding and controlling principle that must be in order in our lives daily to enable us to stand and be victorious in the Christian life. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 60, verse 12. He says, through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who will tread down our enemies. Now, if you're here today and you're unconverted, you're on the same battlefield as God's people are. Now, you have the same enemy. It's the same battlefield. But the thing about it is the people that are on the same battlefield with us, they think the enemy is their friend. And so what he does is he lies to them. You know, they take him lightly. What Satan does is he offers all these counterfeit blessings that you think will bring joy and fulfillment within your life. You know, he lies to them about God. You know, he will say, hath God said, is the Bible for real? Is there a God and stuff? So you're on the same battlefield. The only thing about it is you're on a battlefield without God. You need God to be with you on this battlefield, to get off this battlefield. And the only way you can have God with you is through the Lord Jesus Christ to fight this battle on this earth. I've seen over the years just so much spiritual tragedy. You know, people that say they knew God, they didn't know God, didn't engage in warfare. I've seen churches go down because they didn't engage in warfare, because the Bible says that you fight this war with spiritual weapons, and you have an enemy. If he can do it, he will bring the church down. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. And he said, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So if you're outside of Christ, Satan has you blind. He has you deceived. He's not your friend. He's the enemy of your soul. And I can assure you this morning, the only true friend of sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for you that God would open up your eyes and that you will see how desperate you are on this battlefield, and that you have no protection, you have no assurance, and that you would see that Satan is nobody's friend. But we, as Christians, we have the captain of our salvation, and what Jesus will do off of this battlefield, he is going to lead us into glory. And I promise you this morning, this is not a works doctrine, but for us to go to glory, we're going to have to fight on the way in. Because what the devil does, he wants to wreak havoc on God's creation. He wants to wreak havoc in the church. He wants to destroy everything he can. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy our relationship with each other. And he definitely wants to destroy the church. And he's done it. And that's why this is a serious teaching. But to believers, you would ask the question this morning, why is this passage so vital for us to know and to practice? And I will say this morning in a sober way, because there is an enemy of the church who directs and influences all the other enemies of the church. And his agents and his cohorts and his workers are busy upon this earth trying to wreak havoc among the people of God. Now, Paul talks about here, and we'll look at that this next time, he talks about the wiles of the devil. The devil does a lot of plotting. He has a lot of strategy. You know, he has all kinds of things he tries to use to get us to forsake God. He's the enemy of the church. He's very, very powerful. And I want to make this point this morning. The only way we can beat him is in the strength and might and in the power of God. And you only defeat the devil with the whole armor of God on. And you need every piece of that armor to defeat the devil. Now, three things before we start this morning. The church on the earth is militant. The church on the earth is at war. It is at war, members individually and corporately, members are at war on this earth. You say, but what are we fighting for? I mean, you talk about all this fighting and stuff. I mean, church should be a fun place. It should be a place of happiness and joy, and it is. But it's also a place where war is going on with the world and the devil and the things, you know, everything around us. We're in a war. So what are we fighting for? We're fighting for the glory and honor of God and of Christ. We're standing up for that. We stand up for them. We're standing up for the faith, the truth. And one thing we're definitely fighting for is the souls of men and women. And the third thing, we're fighting against sin, evil, and wickedness. We are fighting against everything that offends God. Some of the stuff we laugh at, we shouldn't be laughing at. They got stuff on TV and we laugh at it because it is funny, and some of the stuff is funny. But if it's against God, we don't need to be laughing at it. I catch myself doing it all the time. And I say, no, I shouldn't have laughed at it because it was a God joke. They've got this new movie coming out, and some little girl with crazy looking eyes on. I don't know, some kind of crazy movie. I don't know what the name of this movie, Alita or something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, the guy on there, he says, I would rather be a ruler in hell than to be a servant in heaven. And I'm going, there is no ruler in hell. You know, God rules over hell. And you don't want to go there. But I'm just saying that's the way the mindset is of this world. And so we receive things like that and don't even realize what the man just said. Number two, God, the church must engage in spiritual warfare in order to be able to stand. In order for us to be able to stand as a church, we're going to have to hold our ground against the wiles of the devil because he will viciously attack us. And this comes subtle and often. Now, we know as pastors, and you probably know as a church, if you've been in a church any amount of time, what the devil likes to do is to get a war going on inside the church. And once he gets us in war with each other, oh my, oh my. That's why you have to, you know, Pastor Derek spent time guarding your heart, Pastor Jim spent time on mortifying the deeds of the flesh. That's why these things are serious, but are taught in the Word of God, because this is a part of the warfare that we're in. And the third thing, God has provided for his people all they need to be victorious and to stand their ground in warfare. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand, that you may be able to oppose and resist the devil. Paul tells the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 16:13, he exhorts the Corinthian brethren, watch and stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. And then he says this, and let all that you do be done with love. He tacks that on the end of that verse. And I think he's talking about love for God and love for your people and love for your neighbor as you're going and fighting this warfare in the world. Let it be done with love. So the Word of God throughout exhorts all God's people to be strong, courageous, and brave in conflict. And this is the reason why the Word of God tells you to be strong. It has nothing basically to do with you. Y'all with me? There is no strength in us outside of Christ. But what it tells you to be strong is because we have a captain of our salvation. And he's almighty and he's victorious. And Satan cannot defeat the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read Hebrews 2:10 to you once again because it's a good one. It says, for it was fitting for him for whom all things, whom are all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. And what he's saying here is our captain and our leader will bring us all to glory. So we as saints are definitely individually in a fight with the devil and the powers of darkness. And the ultimate issue is not really us with the devil. The devil is trying to fight against God. He's trying to fight against good. He's trying to bring in evil. But we're still soldiers in this great army that God uses on this earth to defeat the plots of the devil. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, there are many scriptures that give you a lot of encouragement when you fight this battle. 2 Chronicles 20:15. We have here the words of Jehaziel, or Levi, as the Spirit of God came upon him, and he's talking to King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was fearful because of the great multitude from Syria that was about to come against him. So this is what he says in 2 Chronicles 20:15. Jehaziel said this. He said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. He said, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Now, that's enough to shout and go fight. Amen. Because you're going to lose this battle if it's the Lord's. And, you know, Jehoshaphat was looking at it as a personal matter between him and the king of Syria. But what he's trying to tell him here is this is not just a personal matter, but all the battles that we all go through as a church or as Israel, they're all the battles of the Lord. And everybody is involved in them. And so he said, we cannot lose because God is going to fight for you. Now, you'll get mad at me when I tell you this morning this. The Word of God never excuses or encourages weakness and cowardice in spiritual warfare. I didn't say that you wouldn't get weak and cowardly. I said it doesn't encourage weakness and cowardice. No, it doesn't do that. But on behalf of God's people, their battles are to be fought in the power and might of God. And that's why it doesn't encourage weakness and cowardice. Because of who is fighting with you and who you have strength to fight under. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he threatens Judah and King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah says this as he gives the people strong encouragement. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before the multitudes that are with him." And this is what he says. He says, "For they that are with us are more than they that are with him." Now, when he says this, he's not saying this because of the number of men that are with him. Because he says this, he says, "For with him is the arm of the flesh." In other words, he's got weak, feeble, frail men. He says, "But with us is the Lord our God." They can come with billions. If God's with you, you're not going to lose this battle. And so if they come with billions and you've only got one and that's God, you're going to win the battle. Because they to be with us are more than they to be with them. And God can defeat all putrid, pathetic men. And they were coming against them, and he's encouraging them with this. And it said the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah. So we can fight in confidence because Christ has promised us as a church that the gates of hell will not prevail and be victorious against the church. And these evil powers, and I'm telling you, they are operating at work, they will not overthrow the church. Sometimes it looks like the church is gone. There will be a church here on the earth when Christ returns. She might be beaten and bruised and been through the washer, but there will be a church here when Christ returns. And they will not overcome our Savior. So, brethren, we have guaranteed victory fighting in the might of God, and we should be strengthened by these words in Ephesians. Now, up to this point in the letter, the apostle has dealt with the Christian life. He's dealt with doctrine and great truths about God and our salvation. He's dealt with our conflict with the world and with the flesh. He's dealt with the fact that we still have remaining sin to deal with, and there's an enemy within. He told us that basically in all these teachings, there's a power that's lurking in us. It's always ready to take control of the flesh. That's why he says, walk by the Spirit, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sin wants to reign over your mortal body. But now Paul is telling the Ephesians that there's an enemy outside of us, which is the devil and his forces. And you have to realize this, that the devil can work through our bodies and through our instincts and through our lust, desires, and emotions. He can work through these, and he can wreak havoc of a lot of things because we let him do that, influencing us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. I remember when Peter told Jesus, you know, Jesus said, "I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to the cross." He said, "No, you can't do that." You know what Jesus told him? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why? Because you savor not the things of God. Because what would have happened if he didn't go to the cross? We wouldn't be here this morning. But no, he said that was of Satan. Also, it says in John 13:27, Pastor Derek taught us this, Satan entered Judas, and he goes and he betrays Jesus. So the devil, what I'm saying this morning, he can make use of anything or anybody and use it for the destruction and havoc in the kingdom of God. Now, some would translate Ephesians 6:12, says, "For we do not only wrestle against flesh and blood." One translation says, "For our wrestling is not with human foes alone." In other words, our wrestling is not merely with men. So this is what I want to say. We do at times wrestle with human foes. And I'm going to add this, who are being used by the devil. Paul said he is a spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. But the point Paul is making is our whole problem is not just confined to that which is in me or in other people. Paul is saying that there's a mighty force arrayed against us. There's a mighty power. He's the mightiest of all other powers except God. And you cannot stand against this power except in the power and the might of God. I want to tell you something. If you're not a spiritual person, and you don't like reading the Bible, and you don't like praying, and you don't like anything that's spiritual, you're going to live a hard life. Because the devil is going to harass you, and you're not going to know how to deal with him and his attacks. There's many, many times that just prayer itself has helped me get through some things. And I'm not doing that to boast, man. I was crying out for help, you know, and asking God to give me strength and give me things like that, because I knew that there was no worldly way I was going to get out of this problem that I was facing. So that's what Paul is saying. He's saying we have a foe outside of us that is much stronger than us, as we'll look at in the coming weeks. And we need the power and the might, and we need the armor of God to defeat this enemy. The devil hadn't gone anywhere. He's still on this earth. So he's concluding this letter with the brethren, and the first thing he does, he calls them to battle. I thought it ironic that Paul did this right after he dealt with the family, because a lot of the battles in the house is at home. You know, and finally you say, hey, this is not right. This is of the devil. So you're fighting all these battles at home, and you fight these battles at work, and you're fighting them everywhere. But he says, battle. Because we need to realize our own spiritual weakness and our lack of help, our lack of strength, and realize the power of the enemy. Now, after most of the rest of this morning, the question comes up, who does the fighting? If God fights for us, then what do we do? Because there's people that teach to struggle and fight in the Christian life is defeat within itself. They would say to be strong in the Lord and to be in the power of his might means that all we have to do, and if you've been a Christian for a long time, is let go and let God. That you don't have to do anything. Hand it over to the Lord. It's not your battle. It's his. Hand it over to him. And there is truth in that. But that's not the whole truth. The world would say, people would say that the Christian has nothing to do but abide in Christ, that he himself must not struggle at all. It will all be done for him. Simple reading of the passage will tell you what Paul says. Paul says we wrestle. That means that we struggle. That means that there's action on our part. And I'm going to use a scripture this morning to show you some things. And this is not basically concerning warfare, but this is a scripture that you've been through and I've been through a long time to show you that it's not just the Lord. And this is a scripture where you would think it would be. In Psalm 55:22, he says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Now, you say, well, if I hand it over to the Lord, then it's going to all be done. He basically says, lay your load upon the Lord. And then he says, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved, which is a great promise. Now, in this passage of scripture, and I'm not really teaching on this passage of scripture, it doesn't mean that God will totally take the burden away. When we get in trials, and go to God in trials, we want God to take his trial away right now. Y'all with me? I like what Mbewe said, God leaves things in our life so we won't think his place is heaven. Because I tell you, if life gets too good, you start thinking it's heaven. You start thinking, man, this is the place to be, man. It's cool here. Everything's cool. They came out with iPhone 10. It's cool. And God says, no, I'm gonna let the cell tower go out tonight or whatever. Something like that. But here's what I want to point it out. In other words, it doesn't mean that God's going to totally take this burden away, that it's no longer there, and you have to do nothing. First thing it says is you need to cast. And I'm not preaching on this, but you will ask me, how do I cast my care on God? I'm going to tell you how I do it. Now, you don't have to do it the way I do it. I do it in prayer. I say, Lord, if you take it away, or if you don't take it away, please help me to not forsake you in this trial. Please help me to not deny you in this trial. Give me the strength, wherever, how long it's going to go, and the work that you're going to do in this trial. Please give me strength to get through this. That's how I do it. Now, you don't have to do it the way I do it. And it says, he will sustain you. And what he means by that is, God will keep you going. God will hold you up. God will support you, and he will help you to bear and endure that burden, and he will help you to carry it, and he will provide for you as you carry this burden. And he will, one man says, he will carry you and the burden. But a lot of times when he carries you and the burden's still right there. You with me? But what it does, it changes your whole perspective, your whole perspective of what God is doing. Because a lot of times we say, Lord, just get away from this thing. And God says, of course, what he told Paul, he says, well, my grace is sufficient. And he's usually doing work in all this stuff that he's doing. But we need to trust him. We need to survive on his strength, because this is spiritual work And many times, brethren, it would include warfare. His grace is more sufficient to give us strength to battle and to win that battle. So if this is true, let go and let God, let him fight our battles for us, then we do not fight them ourselves. And all the exhortations that are given in the scriptures and in the, specifically in the epistles, they would be unnecessary and they would be wrong. Another scripture, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What I'm showing you here is that you're going to have to fight. Resist means to stand out against and oppose him. Now, the point is this. God cannot do this for me or you. God cannot submit to himself for me or for you. Your pastors cannot submit to God for you. We can tell you that you need to submit to God. We can tell you that you need to read your Bible. We can tell you you need to be in the house of God. We can tell you you need to use the means of grace. But guess what? We cannot do it for you. And what I'm saying is that you're going to have to fight. I know a man that was basically on his deathbed. And he went to church every Sunday. And what he did from church to church is what he sang in these churches. But he didn't have a Bible. So, you know, I go one day and was going to go to pray for him and everything. So, you know, I pray for him. You want me to pray for him? Yeah, pray for me. And then I said, okay, now you pray. He couldn't pray. I'm going, you got to learn how, you got to pray for yourself. You know, people cannot repent for you. I can pray for you and with you, but you understand what I'm saying? You need to be able to pray. If you're a Christian, you need to be able to fight because God's given you weapons to do it. And you say, well, I'm a weak one. That's all right. Pick up what you got and swing. That's all you got to do. And so most people say, well, you know, it's just like a works religion and all that stuff. No, he says, you need to resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't, he will run you crazy for the rest of your life. And the point is that God can't do it for me or you. James 4:7 says, obey or to be subject to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so what I'm saying here is this, is when we obey and submit ourselves to God, then the power and ability to resist the devil is there. I tell you what, when I'm walking closer to God, I'm better in my trials than when I'm not. That's what I'm saying. And it's because I've been in the presence of the one who has the strength to get me through this. You'll find out real quick you don't have enough strength standing against the devil. You'll find out real quick. But he says that you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So God has given us the means to do this, and if we don't use them, we cannot walk close to him. But I really believe that the more spiritual that we live and the more we implement the word of God and commit to the things of God in our lives, then we will, the more we will love Christ, the stronger we will be in the faith, and the more power will be there available to fight the good fight of faith. You know, you hear all the time churches that they've done away with the prayer meetings. They've done what? I say, what else you gonna do away with? I tell you what you're doing. You're taking it off and pitching it. I say the armor. You're pitching it. No, there's the devil, and there's people in hell right now because of the devil, because that's where he wanted them. And people laugh about it and everything, but the church is the only force on the earth that can deal with all these problems that we have right now, because we have the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, Christ has dethroned the devil. We have the message that can set people free, but we still need to keep our feet on the ground, and we need to be strong so we can help others if we're going to go preach to them. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. So Peter says to the brethren, you have to be sober, you have to be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, and he's always going about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. What the devil's looking for is unprotected, unexpected, helpless prey. People with their guard down. He's looking for those without the whole armor of God on, people that are spiritually vulnerable. And most of the time where you're spiritually vulnerable, man, is in your mind. Because that's where I find out where I have my weaknesses and stuff, because I allow him to try to dictate my thinking. So you're saying, well, that's just the flesh. Sometimes it might be the flesh. But I'll tell you what, there's an enemy outside of you. I tell people all the time, I'll be walking somewhere, not thinking about anything. All of a sudden, here comes a thought out of nowhere. I'm wondering, where did that come from? And then you start, you know, you have a problem with people. And what you do is you start making these imaginary fights with them. And they're saying this and you're saying that. And I'm going, this stuff is crazy. You know, the person, and then you go back and talk to the person. They wasn't even thinking about what you're fighting about. Who did that? I believe it's the devil. Now, not every case, but I believe it could be the devil. But the exhortation says, stay sober and watchful. Keep a disciplined mind concerning spiritual things, and you can resist him steadfast in the faith. Because, brethren, eventually he will come and he will try you and he's going to try me. Because I know for a fact, Christians are on his hit list, especially us preachers, definitely on his hit list. You know, and if he could bring us down, or if he can bring the church down, he wants to do this. And so we need the power of God to resist him. And this lies in your faith in God and your faith in his word and prayer. And that's where all of our spiritual strength comes from. Pastor Jim preached on Romans 8:13. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So I just want to show you that we are expected to do this. And he says, by the Spirit. And when he says by the Spirit, that is the strength to be able to do it. But we still have to do it. And if we don't do it, then sin will control us. But if we go into this with the strength and might of God, we can easily put sin under our feet. Now, when I say easily, it's because God is helping us to do it, not because we're doing it. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't come back. But if we put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, we're going to do it. But it's not in our strength. Then one, Philippians 2:13, you know this one, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. One translation says, keep on working down to the finishing point of your salvation. He didn't say hand it over to the Lord. And then the exhortation to the Philippians is to do it. He said, then he says, for it is God. It is God. If you're a godly man or woman this morning, let me tell you this. It is God. It is not you. Who he says is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human weapons. And I like what Paul says here, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and demolishing fortresses. Because we are using weapons that are mighty in God to demolish these fortresses and to bring them down completely. And I'll say again, I believe that most of those are in your mind. And that's where you need to bring a lot of it down. Christians don't like Christians because they won't fight. Y'all with me? Husband and wife don't get along because you won't fight. Both of you need to fight, not each other, but fight the good fight of faith. That's why you don't get along. You know, I've had times at home I could go off and do things, and I said, it's not the Lord. You know, this doesn't please God. But when we're up in our emotions and everything else, we think, like most Americans think, you know, I'm a victim. You know, I need, you know, well, you know, I want vengeance. You know what I'm talking about. No, fight. Say, this does not please God. And the word of God should come up in your heart and your mind. And the Holy Spirit should bring to your remembrance the things that you've been taught over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going, I have been a Christian for this many years, and I can't believe I thought that or said that. But guess what? The war is always raging. The war is never over. Now, I'm not telling you to get paranoid, okay? I'm not telling you that, you know, because you should have peace in your Christian life. I'm just telling you to be on guard. I'm just telling you to walk around your life in the whole armor of God. I feel sorry for the youth of our day. Man, oh, the temptations in this world now. If in my day and time, if they were as vulgar as they are today, they would all be in jail. Elvis Presley came to Louisville and did a concert, in 1956, somewhere around, I was about a kid sometimes. I ain't gonna tell you how old I am. Y'all are getting numbers up right now. But anyway, all he did was like bend his knees and bowed his knees and shook them together. They wanted to put him in jail because they said that was vulgar. I'm going, you should be here today. You know, and what's behind it? The forces of darkness. That's what it is. It's the forces of darkness. And I'm not mad at the people, because there's the devil that's influencing the people. I'm telling you that there's a force out there. If he could have his way, he would put everybody in hell. Everybody. Well, as we begin to close down, I want to show you where Paul always uses military terminology. He uses a lot. And I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, but we got to remember that the Apostle Paul was put in jail a lot. And one man says that he believes that he writes a lot in the analogy of military imagery because of observing Roman soldiers, because he saw them a lot. And also, you can find some of this imagery in Isaiah 59:17, talks about the armor of protection that they wore back in those days, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. That's in the Old Testament. But I want you to listen to his exhortations to young Timothy, because he told them to young Timothy, who was about to be a pastor, because he knew of the spiritual assaults and the vicious attacks that he would eventually face as a young pastor. Here's what he says, 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many. Now, Timothy at this time might have been in an hour of great testing. He may have been discouraged at this time. The scriptures really don't say. But Paul is telling him this. Timothy, you've got to fight. You either fight or you'll be overthrown. And the one that he's fighting is basically telling him he is fighting against the wiles of the devil. But you've got to fight. And, you know, pastors will tell you, we've got pastors here. They will tell you, we have got to fight. We have to fight to not have a bad attitude toward you all. Y'all with me? I'm serious. Because you say, oh, it's them again. No, we can't do that. You know, it's the sheep of God. You know, and we got to love them. It's not that we have to, but I want to love you. You know what I mean? It's a difference between have to and want to. But even if I have to make myself to have to, then I just have to do that. But it'll please God if I do that. You know, it'd be a struggle or something like that. And I don't have no problem with none of you like that. But what I'm saying is dealing with people and stuff like that. He knew Timothy and what he's about to face and everything like that. And he's telling him, fight the good fight of faith. And I'm sure the Judaizers, and as Pastor Derek talked about this morning, all of them was going to come against Timothy and everything. This is coming. You need to stand and you need to fight. Because the devil is going to bring his men to bring you down. And then we see in 1 Timothy 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. I like that. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and all the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Be strong, Timothy, not in yourself, but in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, all through his writings, in his life, he compared life in this world for the Christian to war, and he also compared it to a race or athletic competition. And this speaks of exertion. It speaks of action. It speaks of fighting. It speaks of competing for a prize, running in such a way that you may obtain this prize, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, teaching discipline and temperance in your life. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had many run-ins with Satan and the powers of darkness as he went about planting churches. Can you imagine how bad the devil wanted a man that wrote most of the New Testament? Can you imagine how bad he was going to bring him down? You read some of Paul's writings and the stuff he went through, I'm going, my goodness, how did he live through this stuff right here? But the Lord brought him through. But anyway, he had a lot of run-ins with Satan and the powers of darkness as he went about planting churches and boldly proclaiming Christ and preaching the whole counsel of God. And listen to what he says here. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:18. He tells the Thessalonian brethren, Therefore, I wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Why did he hinder them? Because he wanted to stop the progress of the gospel. And so he probably used sinful men to try to stop him from getting the gospel to the places that he wanted to go. And then he says in 2 Corinthians, you know this one very well, 12:7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And then he calls this thorn a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, some people think the thorn could have been disease, but he said messenger, so I believe it's one sent. It could have been an angel or man sent to afflict Paul to stop him from being proud before the Lord. But God allowed that to come in his life. But he had a lot of run-ins with the devil. So this man who wrote most of the words of the New Testament in the epistles and was inspired by the Holy Spirit was strong in the Lord and power of his might. And he personally experienced and lived out what he wrote to us and to the Ephesian brethren. Let me give you some good news this morning. This man died victorious in the Lord. He did all to stand, and he stood. He held his ground. He did not apostatize nor deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He was martyred in victory. And Paul died. I'm not saying he died the day he died. He did this. But he died proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of his life, facing sure death, he writes to Timothy. And this is what he says. 1 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now, just to be able to say those words, what confidence in the Lord and the life that he lived. Every one of us need to die in confidence. Y'all with me? Every time I go to a funeral and people are saying, I think they were a Christian. You know, I'm not for sure. Don't let people have to say that at your That's not a good omen for people to say that. You should be able to say, I know he was a Christian. I know he was a man of God. I know he was one that fought the good fight of faith. And they could say that about the Apostle Paul. He could even say it about himself. He said, I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. And he says, I have fought the good fight. He said, that's military terms. He said, I finished the race. He said, I have kept the faith. And he says this. He said, I will die victorious in the strength of God. I like what Austin Walker said. The Lord takes us and just takes us up into heaven. I mean, when you die peacefully, hey man, there's nothing like it. I haven't been on the other side now. You know, I'm like you, I don't know what will happen there, but I know one thing. I know it won't be bad. It's going to be good. But you can die victorious in the Lord. And Satan did not overthrow me in this life. You say, well, he can't overthrow me. I'm saved by grace. Yes, that's true. And yes, that's not true. You got to fight. And if you are saved by grace, you will fight. Because God, guess who put it in? God put it in you to fight. And you will fight. And then I like what he says here. Finally, there was laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. Paul died more than a conqueror through him that loved him. And that's the way we all need to say, Lord, let me die the death of the righteous. Let me die more than a conqueror. Let me come into heaven with my clothes tore up and blood stains on me and wounded in my legs and everything else. Why? Because I fought. Because, and I'm talking about spiritually here now, because I fought the good fight of faith. Well, next time we're going to describe the enemy and his subtle attacks and speak some about his kingdom, because the devil does have a kingdom that's in direct opposition against God. But the application this morning, before we leave, is we're fighting a war that's already been won. And we need to fight while we're on this sinful earth. But the victory is guaranteed, and the scriptures imply struggle and warfare, but we will have to fight. Let me give you some encouraging scriptures before we leave. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he won the victory, and we are going to win the victory because he gives us the victory. That's how we'll be victorious. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. That's a great scripture. If you're an unbeliever this morning, there's no victory or hope outside of Christ. This world is rapidly headed for judgment. People ask me all the time, every time I see people, they say, the world's going to end, the world's going to end. I don't know when the world's going to end, but I know one thing. The Bible says someday it's going to be judged. And whenever that day comes, you need to be found in him, having his righteousness. And the only way you can make it out of the battle of this earth is that you have to put on the whole armor of God. You need every piece of the armor of God. You say, well, how do I put on it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will give you everything in life that pertains to life and godliness. Everything you need to win this war was given to you when he saved you. Now, you might not know what it was, just like our brothers teaching us this morning how to read the Bible and things like that, but he's giving you everything you need, and God will see to it that you will be victorious and that you will get to the other side. But thank God for raising up men like the Apostle Paul and bringing us into reality of what this is all about. The world is not a playground. The world is a battlefield. But we're victorious because of the one who leads us into victory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for your power and your might. And our purpose this morning is to exalt you and your strength. Father, we have no strength. Father, we realize without you, we can do nothing. Father, we realize how weak and feeble we are individually, and we realize how weak and feeble we can be as a church. But Father, we know that you will uphold us by your right hand of righteousness. And if we walk through the fire or have to go to the water, you will be with us. Father, we do pray today that you would be merciful upon sinners this day, that you will save their soul and give them the armor of God. And Father, that you will bring many sons into glory. Father, we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.